Thank you for tuning in to The Tricia Goyer Show. I'm sharing my heart and answering questions about faith, writing, homeschool, big family living, and so much more. I'll also be digging deep into meaningful conversations with other authors, speakers, moms, and God lovers. I'm your host, Tricia Goyer, wife to John, mom of 10, author of over 80 books, speaker, homeschooler, avid reader, and mega nap taker. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, hello, friends. Tricia Goyer here, and I have a very sweet and dear friend with me today, Janet Home McHenry. We have been friends since like 93, 94, a long time. Janet was one of my first friends in the writing world. I'm sure we're going to have some stories about that here. But first of all, welcome, Janet, and just start by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me, friend. This is really a pleasure. Wow. I'm a mom. I have four kids. They're all grown up, done with college, out of the nest, married or almost married.
Yeah.
Gainfully employed. So
good. That's a great thing. Yeah.
That's a great thing. I'm also Nana to 10 wonderful grandchildren. I say that I have four pretty good kids with 10 perfect grandchildren.
I love it.
Formerly, I was a journalist, a newspaper reporter, as well as a high school English teacher. So I've been immersed in words for a lot of years.
Yes.
And most of that has happened here in the Sierra Valley in Northern California, where I live. So, you know, I just want to paint the picture a little bit for your listeners. So imagine Lake Tahoe, except without the water.
Yes.
We're about an hour north of that area, and it's quite remote. We don't have a single stoplight in our entire county.
Yeah, an adorable little town.
Yeah, we love it. Raised all our kids here, so.
That's so good. And then you have, how many books do you have now with this new book?
This is my 26th book. Yeah, so again, like a whole variety of like crazy genres, anywhere from children's board books, first chapter books, girls' mystery, a cozy mystery, and then a lot of nonfiction, including devotional books, Bible studies, and Christian living.
I love it so much. And so we met, like I mentioned, years ago as a baby. I was 22, I think 21 or 22, the first time we met. And her new book is Praying Personalities, Finding Your Natural Prayer Style. Finding Your Natural Prayer Style. And we're going to get to that in a minute, but we have to talk because, Janet, our real connection, like we met at Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference, but our real connection happened over prayer because I met all these wonderful people at Mount Hermon and I went home. Now, this is back in the day before Facebook, before like you can really connect online. I had all these business cards from these wonderful ladies I met, and I was reading through the book, Evelyn Christensen's book, What Happens When Women Pray, and just talking about the power of praying together. So I emailed all these ladies like, hey, do you want to do like an online prayer thing? It was decades. I don't even know how many years. Like, we were very consistent about it, but everyone would send in their prayer requests every week. I would compile them and we prayed. We got together a few times, but really, I think that really grew all of us into, in our Christian walk, it grew us. In our writing ministry, it grew us. In friendships, it grew us. And so that was such a special time. And that all started with prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it cemented us as one heart friends. Mm-hmm. And I think what it allowed us to do is to step in to the impossible, you know, God's possibilities, you know, in terms of how we were praying for our children, we were praying for our very livelihood. Should I move? You know, this situation has come up with a friend and it's breaking my heart. And so, I mean, really, we were gut level praying with and for one another during that time and beyond, because, it's still occurring. Yeah. We see things on social media and, you know, the natural response then, which is what it's supposed to be, the natural response is prayer. So,
absolutely. And I think it gave us the boldness, at least for me, to to just follow my dreams of becoming a writer. When you have all these people like, oh, we'll pray about that. Did you send that in? Did you finish that devotional? There was this natural community that believed that you can do it, which I would, again, I only have my high school diploma from Weed High School in Northern California. I don't have a degree. I don't have anything, but I had praying friends around me that believed in me. And I think that made a huge difference. And so I love how just prayer centered our relationship and centered our relationship. And then now we're talking about praying personalities, which I love this book so much. I want you to explain it, because then I want to talk about some of these personalities. When I was reading through it, I definitely saw myself in a couple for sure. But let's talk about it. Like, where did you get the idea of praying personalities?
Well, about 25 years ago, I started the practice of prayer walking. Mm-hmm. I started doing it because I was physically falling apart, but I also saw it as an opportunity to spend time with God in prayer, which my prayer life was terrible. I mean, on the run all the time, you know, with four kids and a full-time job and trying to write on the side. So I started prayer walking, and there was a lot of minus in that prayer, you know, my kids, my marriage, my job. And then I saw this young man one morning hand over his little blanketed baby girl to the daycare worker downtown Loyalton here in the Sierra Valley. Yeah. And the little girl said, "Bye, Daddy, I love you." And I knew right then that God had me on the streets of my community, less for the minus of my prayers, but more for the needs of others. So that, and it changed me. It changed me physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, spiritually. And so when you experience that kind of change, you become kind of fanatical. You know, you think like everybody should be doing this thing. Yeah. It's life changing. But as I spoke about it, I began writing about it and I spoke about it. There would always be, you know, one or two ladies who kind of to me afterwards and say, "But Janet, I can't walk, you know, mm-hmm. so what should I do?" So that stuck with me. And a couple of years ago, I was doing some speaking about prayer and how to integrate more prayer into our lives as writers, when I sort of heard myself say, perhaps that have something to do with our God-given personality. And it was like one of those aha moments.
Yeah.
And that just wouldn't leave me. And it kind of began putting pieces together. So as with all the other books that I write, mm-hmm. I went to God's word and I said, "God, show me. I mean, could this be true that, you know, I might have a different praying practice than someone else, and my prayers may sound different than someone else's because of the way you've made me?" And so I began combing the Bible, you know, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and looking for specifically how people prayed, you know, how they talked to God, you know, what's the underlying tone that we're seeing there? In what circumstances do they go to God? You know, and all of that put together. And I began to see God's grace and freedom within the pages of his word to accept our conversations with him. Moses argued with God, you know, Gideon negotiated with God. Yeah. Job was complaining, and he was the mm-hmm. most righteous man on the whole earth. And yet he was complaining, and God mm-hmm. heard those people. You know, God hears our heart, perhaps even when there's not words. So
I love that. The word that stood out to me the most is the freedom. And I think there is freedom within the pages of this book. I had to laugh. There was maybe the intro or some place you talked about feeling like a prayer failure because you had all these journals started with prayer requests. I probably have 20 journals around here. The first page or two has like prayer requests listed, and then they get left, and then they get put on a shelf, and then I'll find it later. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a prayer failure. But as I'm reading, I'm like, there's a couple people I really related with. So I related a lot with Moses, just the conversation back and forth. Like all day long, I'll be like, okay, this kid, Lord, you know this kid. Like I can't go deal with this child in math right now. So I'm like having these conversations with God all day long. Like, "Grandma, I'm really tired. My grandma, God, I'm really tired. It's really hard seeing my grandma laying here. So I need you to give me strength." But it's like this ongoing, when we think about, I don't know, when I was little, when I read about prayer without ceasing, I just pictured like these beautiful prayers all day long, just coming, flowing from our lips. But mine is more like Moses, the conversation, like these Israelites, these people, like I cannot deal with these people anymore. But those are prayers, like you're communing, you're conversing with God. And that's what I feel like my day is. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm praying, Janet. I'm praying.
But that's it. The underlying objective, whether it's stated or not in the book, is to get people to that place where they do mm-hmm. have that sense of God's presence with them all day long and not get to the end of the day and think, oh yeah, I should pray. But that it's been this sense of God with you, mm-hmm. Emmanuel, God with us all day long.
Yeah. And another one I love David, but I love how he, like through his songs, he's very just emotional. My kids, I was reading through the Psalms with my teenage, we have 7 adopted kids. 6 of them are girls. We adopted a whole bunch of teenage girls, which has been like a lot of emotion, but we were reading through the Psalms and they were laughing because David's like, I am but a worm. And like, I just like am in the pit. And they're just like, oh my goodness, he's so emotional. And I'm like, this is you guys all the time. Like, you're so emotional. But it made me realize, like, they can be emotional and be emotional with God. So when they start going, like, getting in their drama, I'm like, let's talk to God about that. Take your drama to God. And I'm like, so our phrase now when I'm reminding them they need to pray about it, not just get caught up in the drama, is like, I am but a worm. And they're like, okay, okay, Mom, I'll talk to God about it. And they just know. And they call, so they call David Emo, which is emotional. They just call him, it's emo David. Like, okay, I get it. He's emo. I'm going to go be emo with God. I'm like, yes. But it helped me with my kids. Like, I can see, like, they're dramatic. They're teenagers. Not all my teens are dramatic. Most of them are, but they can take that emotion and, like David, be very emotional. And of course he wrote songs and poetry from it, but it's okay for them to be emotional and be emotional all up in their feels, is what we say, with God. And God's going to be okay with that. And so this is so good for myself. Like, okay, I can see, like Moses, back and forth, all this conversation all day long, but also see my kids like David with emo and the emotions and getting all up. And then at the end of every psalm, David's like, but I trust you, God. God, right. You are merciful. Like, he would come back around, but it was okay. Like, I think it's such a good thing for us to see. It's okay to be feeling all those emotions. God can handle all that. So I told my girls, like, if God can handle David talking about like this, he can handle you talking like that. So go to God with it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, in English teacher language, we would call that change of heart at the end of the psalm or at the end of a poem, the turn. There's an actual turn of emotion or perspective. And that's actually what prayer should do, because prayer is less about answers and more about access to the living God. And if we are, you know, just turning stuff over to him all day long, we will become more like him. And so we will experience that spiritual turn in our lives where life seems, even though it's still heavy, it seems less heavy because we've turned it over. We've handed it over to God. And we can, you know, just know that God is faithful. God is trustworthy, you know, that we can talk to him. We can hand these things over to him. We can just vent even, you know, as Moses, as David did, many others in the Bible, and know that God is doing a work also in us, not in that, just that situation or with those teenagers, but he's doing that work in us.
Yeah. And I think it's really helpful because, you know, we can also summarize like, oh, the saints in the Bible and all these godly men and women. Well, of course, the more we read through the Bible, we realize like they are so far from being perfect, like so many mistakes. But also, even their saint label, their prayers life are completely different. The way they approach God is completely different. And it just makes me realize like God created all these personalities. Like he needed Jeremiah to be the weeping prophet and to be able to express God's emotions of sorrow with the people. He needed different people in the Bible. He needed Daniel to be faithful and to have this whole society that's in exile see him at his window 3 times a day. He needed that for that person, for that time in history. He needed all our personalities. He needs us for this time in history to reach different people. It's not all the same. It's not like, oh, all the Christians are the same. All saints of God in the Bible are the same. No, he needs different people and different personalities at different times. And it's like, oh, so, I mean, it's talking about prayer, but I think reading through your book also helped me just to see how God just creates all these different personalities for a purpose for that time in history. And we can be okay with different personalities in the world around us, in the Christian society around us, because God has a plan for that and a design for that.
And we can also recognize that within our families, mm-hmm. you know, in our relationship with our spouse, with our families, with our friendship circles. And we're not all going to pray alike. We're yeah. not all alike in personality. And so even when we have those introverted children, for example, if we say, okay, you know, Susie, I want you to pray for dinner now. Let's pray. That's going to be hard for her. Mm-hmm. But if we can kind of cue her, and maybe while we're fixing dinner, hey, Annie, you know, would you say the prayer tonight? That's just going to be much more of a comfort level for her, because she can, mm-hmm. you know, because she's going public in yeah. front of the family. It's different. And so, you know, so many people tell me like, oh, I just feel so awkward praying, you know, in a group, and like, oh yes, you introverted sweet thing.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, let's talk about Jesus. So okay. we have all these personalities. What about Jesus? Like, did he have a personality? How did that work?
Yeah, he actually has the perfect personality. You know, we see him, you know, that he needs to get away. He needs to get up and be with his Father alone, but he also, you know, prayed in large settings. He invited people. They flocked to him, but he didn't turn them away. You know, mm-hmm. so we see that side of him, introverted, extroverted. We see, you know, him responding emotionally in situations. We see him responding rationally in situations. So he is definitely, you know, has the perfect personality. And so we're going to see so many different ways that he prays, so many different kinds of prayers that he prays. Mm-hmm. And it's all out of his natural, you know, the natural God on earth kind of person who he was. So, and is today. So, and he still is interceding. That mm-hmm. he still is interceding yes. for us, Hebrews tells us. So that's super exciting. And I think ultimately, if we want to like sort of, if we were had the objective to design our praying personality, we would study the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a chapter on that. I've also written a book about that.
Yes. No, I wanted you, this is a lead in, Janet, for you to mention your book on that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love studying Jesus. I call him my prayer mentor or my personal trainer. You know, I picture him waiting on the front steps of my house and come on, Janet, behold, I stand at the door. I'm knocking. Let's yes. go prayer walking. And I do believe that, you know, studying his life has given me insight to wherever I am, there's a need for prayer. You know, wherever Jesus went, things drastically changed, you know, because of it, because of where he went. So that's why I get crazy about advocating for prayer walking, because I feel yeah. like it can have effect on our community. So,
yeah. So prayer walking is one of your books. It's just called Prayer Walking. And what's the subtitle on Prayer Walking?
Prayer Walk. Have Becoming a Woman of Prayer Strength and Discipline.
Yeah. Okay. And then what's the name, all the prayers of Jesus, or what's the
It's title? the complete guide to the prayers of Jesus.
That's
so
what it is.
Everything about his prayers, what he taught about prayer, his praying life, and how he still prays for us today.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So one other fun thing that you do in the book is there's different personality tests and personality enneagrams and all the different things that people have figured out. So you take these and you use them, but then you apply them to prayer. So how did you go about that? And then what did you discover as you're realizing there's different types of tests, but basically they're just picking out different things in people. So what did you discover yeah. about prayer in that?
Well, I examined 8 different personality theories, and I think it really mm-hmm. is important to keep in mind that these are man-created personality theories, that we can recognize that the best way to understand ourselves individually is to study God's word and let it to speak truth into our lives. But these can be really helpful for us to create awareness of our strengths and our weaknesses. And I look at 8 different ones of those, the mm-hmm. most popular ones that I could, you know, I felt were ones that people were familiar with, anywhere from the Greek temperaments all the way up through many of the modern ones, including the Enneagram. And so what I did, bottom line, was instead of saying, hey, go take this test, or, you know, I try to examine the underlying questions, or what I felt were the underlying questions for each of those. Because I feel like sometimes when we take those tests, we're not really getting the correct answer, because maybe we don't always see ourselves in the correct light. You know, we may think less of ourselves or more of ourselves, or we may be striving for what we think is the best answer when any answer is the correct answer, you know?
Yeah.
So I tried to look at the underlying questions to help the reader, you know, kind of ponder some of that, think about herself or himself, and then offer hundreds of prayer pointers in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, if this resonates with you, if this kind of personality resonates with you, if you think you're this or that, then, you know, consider these particular sort of praying practices, try them out, you know, see if that is a really kind of a natural groove for you, and then live into that.
Yeah. And again, it's just seeing these things as tools. And sometimes we like these personality tests. They really seem to fit with us. And then we could say, okay, so what tips might there be for praying? And just help us to see, like, we could just take, glean different things off of different ones. Like, we don't have to say, I am an INFJ and this is how I'm going to pray and all these different things. We can figure out, oh, I really like this tip. I don't know what that label means, but I really like this tip. It seems like it would fit well with something that I would be able to do.
Right. Right. So I think sometimes the reader might find like, oh yeah, those ideas that really connects with me, whether or not they click into a certain particular kind of a personality box. And it's never my intention to kind of put people in boxes. I think God creates each of us uniquely. We're going to be a combo of different kinds of personalities from one test to another. And that's the underlying thing is, again, grace and freedom. Let's find grace and freedom to pray in the way that God has created each of us.
I love that. So what did you discover about yourself? You've been talking about prayer. You've been writing about prayer for a really long time. Was there some part of discovery in this too?
That's a really interesting question. I came face to face with the idea that I'm a problem solver. And that's one of the four praying personalities that I offer up to the reader by the end of the book. That, you know, that I see a problem, you know, my natural instinct might be to just try to fix it. You know, oh, there's a problem, I can take care of that. But what God wants me to do is to give it to him first, because then he's going to give me insight about then how to next, you know, find next steps there. So the problem solver goes to God because she or he sees God as someone who can solve problems, you know, situation with your kids arise. You know, you mentioned that earlier, you know, that, you know, then you go to God to prayer, and it's a mental switch for someone with my kind of personality, but that's a piece of growth. That's a piece of spiritual growth that is so necessary, I think, for each of us to understand kind of who we are, what our natural tendencies are, strengths, weaknesses, and then kind of to live into those strengths and see God as, you know, a point of access throughout our whole day. Isn't that that's a crazy privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing privilege that the God of the universe is listening and attuned to what we're saying and our needs and our concerns, and wants to hear from us and wants to be there with us. And then wants us to point, like, offer other people up to him, like, hey, my friend's really going through this hard time, and just have that access to the throne of God. And it's just amazing. And when I was reading, I think it was in the intro, you're talking about just you're a fixer. You see problems, you usually end up leading stuff. That is so me. I'm like, oh my gosh, now I know why Janet's my friend. We're so much the same personality. And I have a really hard time when I'm in a group and a Bible study or anything, and I'm like, they could just do this differently. I'll have to, like, stop myself from, okay, why don't we group up right now, and then I just want to fix it, solve it, and I'll just have to sit there. Sometimes God will call me to lead in some areas, but sometimes I just have to sit there and let other people lead, and that's really hard, because I just want to, I think I have a way that would work. My kids are going on a missions trip to New York for spring break that I'm not going on because I'm speaking in California. You'll be there at Mount Hermon. Otherwise, I'd be wanting to go. And I'm like, we can do this together and we can do this for fundraising and we could get together and pray before for the kids. And the youth leader's leading it. He's like, well, we have two meetings set up and that's what we're going to do. I'm like, okay, that's all we're going to do. Like, I just have to keep pulling myself back.
Yeah.
It's their mission trip. That's what they're doing. They're going to plan. Can help if they need me to, but it's so funny when we're that type of personality that mm-hmm. needs to step back and let other people do things differently, pray in a different way, go to God in a different way. It's fun and a challenge at the same time.
It's a challenge because I think, you and I, we see our day as kind of a list. It's a to-do list. Mm-hmm. And we get this almost this high from checking those things off. That's done. Mm-hmm. That's done. And at the end of the day, if everything's done, we're like, oh, now I can have peace. So mm-hmm. I think all of us here probably have some sort of to-do list. But I recently was beginning to think, well, what if we had a to-be list? Mm-hmm. And my to-be list was to be with Jesus first thing when I wake up, mm-hmm. to be with him in the new time, to be with him in the afternoon and into the evening. And so I have a sense of his presence all day long. That's my new to-be list.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. And I think God, maybe that's what he's been teaching me, because as I'm like caring for grandma, it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to feed her. Like I can't do any, I've tried to like answer text messages with one hand while I'm trying to feed. Nope. I just have to be in the moment, be with grandma, be feeding grandma. Like, and sometimes I think the doers, he does have to kind of pull us back so we could just be and just use that time for God. I ended up in physical therapy this morning because caring for grandma, you know, physically moving her, changing her, all the things, my back was just getting messed up. And for an hour I was in physical therapy, probably half that time I was getting heat on my back, different things. And I was laying there with my eyes closed. It was a great prayer time. I'm like, oh, good. I'm talking with Janet later today and I have all this unexpected prayer time. But I think for some of us that do really well at doing that, there's these moments come up where we just, if we're not being enough, just taking that time enough, God will slow us down in different ways. And this morning I had a wonderful prayer time praying for this podcast, praying for different things in my day, praying for my kids as I was laying there getting my back worked on from doing. So good. Well, Janet, I just love this book so much. I loved it from the first time I heard about it. And then when I was able to read The Galley, I loved it. And I just think it's going to be such a blessing. What kind of feedback have you already got? Comments from people that are just starting to get into the book and read it for the first time?
I hate to say it out loud almost, but I've not heard a critical word yet. And there seems to be just a kind of a swell of enthusiasm mm-hmm. for it and really the grace and freedom that it can offer each of us.
Yes.
And that's kind of what I always would hope my ministry mm-hmm. would do. We do find grace and freedom as we are, you know, consistently going to God in prayer, studying his word, and having him speak that truth into our lives. That lends a lot of freedom there to us as believers and, you know, women and men of faith who simply want to, you know, be stronger, you know, grow in maturity, you know, as the years pass. So
this would be a great book for groups, for Bible studies. They can read through it together. And I'm sure, like, just as you and I have had conversations about our personalities and how we see God, how we've approached God, how God has grown us spiritually. I mean, there could be so many rich conversations for groups that go through this book together. So highly recommended. So for those interested in getting a book for themselves or getting a book for their Bible study or their group, where can they go to get more information about praying personalities?
Well, it's on all the online bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, and it should be in your local Christian bookstore, if not Barnes & Noble, very soon. So excited about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Janet. Thank you, Janet, for being here today.
Thank you, Tricia.
Always. And then one last thing, where can people connect with you online?
Ah, JanetMcHenry.com, and I'm all over social media, so you can find me there as well.
All right. Well, thank you, friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Trisha Goyer Show. I hope you received help and inspiration. That's what I'm here for. Now, remember, if you would like to submit a question, email it to hello@TrishaGoyer.com, and I can't wait until we connect again.